Obviously, this is a very special time as we prepare for Pesach. And our topic tonight is a little bit unusual in the sense that we are trying to develop a closer relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Haggadah, of course, is a text that enables us to open that door. And yet tonight we're going to turn to a period of time where the questions about the Ribono Shel Olam far exceed, at least in my small amount of understanding, far exceed the answers. The period of the Holocaust, the Tekufa Ayuma, brings with it so many questions, so many unanswerable questions. And you would say, well, why would you spend a whole night focusing on Haggadahs from the Holocaust when the Holocaust is maybe the biggest challenge or the biggest question or the biggest difficulty that we face in the area of Emuna for many? And I think that perhaps, at least for me, the takeaway is in a certain sense the opposite. Is that when we find people before, during, and after who were able, despite these unimaginable horrors, to still cultivate a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, that to me is maybe the most unbelievable expression of Emuna from which we can draw an enormous amount of strength. So that's our goal tonight. Our goal tonight is introducing five Haggadahs that are Haggadahs of the Holocaust, each in their own way, and the goal is that each of these Haggadahs can bring us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, thinking about the author of this Haggadah, or the message of the Haggadah, or the historical context of the Haggadah. So the truth is, this is going to be a basic, cursory overview, because each one of these Haggadahs, in and of itself, could be a whole night discussion. Some of these Haggadahs you can get on your own, and some of them we'll have to share a little bit. But that's the goal, that we should learn a little bit about these Haggadahs, maybe a little Haggadah Divrei Torah that you can say at the Seder. But we can draw a tremendous amount of Emuna from these personalities, from the Holocaust personalities that we're going to focus on tonight. So the first Haggadah that we're going to share tonight, you have on the first page inside of your cover, is this Haggadah, which you can buy in stores today. Haggadah Shel Pesach Im Mayona, Mayona Shel Torah. In Yiddish, it's Der Torah Kvel. How many of you have heard of this set of Svarim called Mayona Shel Torah? Anybody else? You've heard of it? Traditional bar mitzvah gift, right?
I think I buy a little white. And
that's right,
little
exactly.
White volumes, three of them or something.
There are five volumes on the Parsha, but there's also a Haggadah. That's this very tiny volume. So I, like many people, received this set of Svarim for my bar mitzvah, and it has lots of wonderful Divrei Torah in it. Fast forward many years, living in Chicago, doing my research for the Holocaust Museum, for our tours, for our shiurim, and I come across a figure by the name of Rabbi Alexander Zisha Friedman, who was a hero of the Warsaw Ghetto. And I start reading more and more and more, and all of a sudden, it turns out that this Rabbi Zisha Friedman, Rabbi Alexander Zisha Friedman, is the author of none other than the Mayona Shel Torah. So I go back to my shelf, I'm like, I didn't even know you were living here all this time. This Haggadah from the Mayona Shel Torah was published before the war in 1938 in Yiddish, and then it was translated into Hebrew for what you have in front of you. Rabbi Zisha Friedman was a prominent author and intellectual, editor, Talmud Chacham, and major activist for Agudas Yisrael. He found that there was a dearth of accessible Divrei Torah for just popular people, you know, something to say at the Shabbos table, something that you could digest, a little vort. So he collected many little vortlach, and he put them together in this collection, according to the parsha, the five parshas, and he did the same thing for the Haggadah. Well, lo and behold, not too long after that, when the Germans march into Poland, Rabbi Zisha Friedman finds himself at the center of Jewish activism in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was the publisher of a Yiddish newspaper called A Kol in Der Midbar, which means a voice in the desert, which was an underground newspaper of Agudas Yisrael in the ghetto. And if you look, there is a passage here in this volume about religious life in the Holocaust called Hidden in Thunder by Esther Farbstein. This is the English translation of her work, Vaseisa Ram, where there was a placard, not a placard, like a monograph that was going around. It's called Machias Amalek. This is from February 1942. You could see the facsimile. I'm holding this here. It was an anonymously written monograph preparing for Purim.
What's a monograph?
Monograph is a self-contained small literary work.
Okay.
So it's not so long. And it's a passage which draws upon Parsha Zohar, and it's teaching people to remember Amalek, which was read that year on February 28th, because many nations have tried to attack the Jewish people, but only Amalek is trying to totally annihilate the Jewish people. Because at this time, in this place, people already knew. In February 1942, they knew what was going on. And this is one of the few contemporaneous documents of Jews acknowledging the awareness of what the Germans were really up to. Because by this
time, what country was it written in?
This was written in the Warsaw Ghetto.
Oh,
and it's written anonymously. But who is the author of this work? So she puts that in the footnote. He says, this newspaper is surprisingly similar to Rabbi Freeman's article, Shorashi HaSinai, Tohomitzitz, etc. So Esther Farbstein is the one who connects all the dots and says that this piece was written by Reb Zusha Friedman. And his activities are also chronicled in an incredible way. There was a very remarkable person. His name was Dr. Hillel Seidman. Hillel Seidman survived the Warsaw Ghetto, came to New York. Rav Schwartz, he should live me well, told me he met Dr. Hillel Seidman on several occasions. Hillel Seidman was in the ghetto and he kept a diary. A whole long story about this diary, not for tonight. He went back after the war to find the diary. Somebody who is a very kind soul in our neighborhood, who knows that I'm interested in these kinds of things, one day drops off at my door none other than a rare copy of Hillel Seidman's diary, The Yoman Beghetto Varsha, by Hillel Seidman, for which I am incredibly grateful, as you can imagine. In the back of The Yoman Beghetto Varsha, Hillel Seidman has a selection of personalities. He says, people I met in the ghetto. And I want you to know who these people are. Because they were such giants. They were so inspirational that you have to know, people for Dorus have to know who they were. And so he writes little descriptions of these heroes. And in the back, you see, you have a picture. This is the picture. I'm going to pass it around in a second. This is Reb Zusha Friedman. Hillel Seidman describes how initially the Judenrat had approached Reb Zusha Friedman to become a member, and he declined. He only wanted to focus on serving the community, even though it would have bettered his position financially and socially. He was involved in founding, with a few other people, a soup kitchen, a public kitchen. It tells you where it was, on Rehov Nalabki, together with the joint distribution. So they got funds. Then he starts up Beis Yaakov's and Chadarim. So he starts organizing educators. And he has a whole group of these schools, a network of schools, so that the children should be educated, Al Derech HaTorah. Finally, they open the schools. He gets he becomes a member as representing Agudas Yisrael on the Ezra HaAtzmit HaYehudit, on this self, I guess you call it a council of Jews who were trying to help people in the Warsaw Ghetto. And he had an official standing because he was part of this. He was put in jail, taken out of jail. Ultimately, he survives the Warsaw Ghetto uprising and is sent to a labor camp in 1943, in April 1943, called Troniki. Who else survived the ghetto and was sent to the same labor camp? The Pia Setzner. They were both survivors of the ghetto. They both went to this labor camp. This labor camp was liquidated in November of Cheshvan of 1943. Now, it's not clear Hillel Seidman describes that he was still in contact with Reb Zisha Friedman when Reb Zisha Friedman was in Tronicki. They were still communicating with each other by letters through September 1943. He says, after September 1943, he says he was aware that he was still active as a leader in the Jewish community, whatever you call that, in the labor camp, trying to help people in Tronicki. He says, but as we know, he says, however, at one point, he was taken away from there from one of the selectias. So he says, we don't know exactly where he went, but we do know that Tronicki was liquidated in November of 1943. So it was either there or somewhere else where he was taken away, and he was murdered. But his life's work still lives on. Well, one of. There are other writings that are not so famous, other published works that we have from before the war. So this is the first Haggadah that you have in front of you. I'm going to pass around the Hillel Seidman book so you can take a look. You can see the picture of Reb Zisha Friedman. So I have here one little vort that he quotes from the Chasam Sofer that you have on page 2. It says, why is it? Why is it that we don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? We know this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, one night of Pesach, L'saper v'nisim v'niflos. Why don't we recite a bracha? So he has a beautiful vort here from the Chasam Sofer. Says the Chasam Sofer, a left-hand column, left-hand side of the page, right column, halfway down. He says, we know there is a din, Biram Halacha, Kovash Nachri Hamizgayer, Mevarech al Tvilas Hagir Achri Hatvila Velolofana. A ger, a convert who immerses to complete their Tvila, their gear process, their conversion, they don't recite a blessing, a bracha on Tvila until after they immerse. Why? That's right, because they're not Jewish before. So says the Chasam Sofer, the Kevon Shebechol Dor V'Dor Chayv Adam Liras Esatmu Keilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. We have to see ourselves as if right now we're leaving Egypt. Well, at the beginning of the Seder, we're still in Egypt, so we can't make a brach on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on the story that hasn't yet happened, the Exodus that hasn't existed, the fact that we left Egypt, became Jewish. We haven't reached that stage yet. Therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, at the beginning of the Haggadah, we're over the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, and now Kadosh Baruch Hu brought us close, and that's why we don't say a bracha on the Magid, because it's just like we are becoming Jews through the process of the Seder. Haggadah number one. Haggadah number two, you see a picture of it in front of you, and I'm going to share it with you on the computer so you can see it in color. Thanks to Yad Vashem. I want to go to southwestern France at the foot of the Pyrenees Mountains at the village of Gours. It's probably not how it's pronounced, but that's how it's spelled, so my French is just going to go with that. In 1939, before the war, France created a camp. And it was originally a detention camp for political prisoners. And in early 1940, in this camp, the French actually held several thousand German Jewish refugees because they were considered to be alien combatants. But in June of 1940, it fell under the Vichy regime, which was a collaboration with the Germans. So they established this as a camp, which, if you go on the Yad Vashem website, which I'll show you in a minute, one of the survivors who was interviewed in Yad Vashem said, we refer to this as little hell. That was before you went to the big hell. That was Auschwitz. This was just the little. She says, this survivor who speaks on the video says it was so primitive. There was one woman who went, excuse me for saying lo aleinu, went to walk to the restroom and fell in the mud and died. She drowned in the mud. It was so disgusting. It was so full of mud. You couldn't even walk in this place. Between 1940 and 1941, 800 people died of contagious diseases. And they had Sacha Kol. From there, they deported over 7,000 Jews. And several thousand of them, of course, went to the east. They went to various death camps, primarily Auschwitz. And Vichy, they closed it in 1943. By that time, almost 22,000 prisoners had passed through this detention center. That's the background. In 1941, there was a man. His name was Arye Ludwig Zuckerman. He's getting ready for Pesach, and he gets together with a group. There was a Rav who was there. It was Rabbi Leo Ansbacher and others. He says, you know what? We need to have a Seder. We need to have a Haggadah. We don't have a Haggadah. So this Yid, Arye Zuckerman, says, don't worry. I remember the whole Haggadah Baal Peh. So I'm going to write it down. So he writes down, this is what you're looking at on the page. This is the handwritten Haggadah Shel Pesach from Gurs from 1941. There was a Rav named Shmuel Kapel, who got a hold of this, who brought it to Toulouse, who got it to someone else, v'chule. So now it's in Yad Vashem, and you can go online. I'll pass around, well, you can see it from here if you want. This is the color original edition. You see on the right side is the picture. On the left side is how I'm going to go forward, you'll see. This is Rabbi Dr. Leo Ansbacher, who was the Rav, who was involved in writing this Haggadah. This is the Haggadah. You'll notice the right-hand side is in the handwritten Hebrew. The left-hand side is in Latin. It's a transliteration. So it says, Adir b'melucho bachar ka'alacha in English letters. It's not in French. It's Hebraic. It's a transliteration. Now I'll show you one more page. You can see, this is the last page of the Haggadah with a dedication. So there's Hebrew, Poseach es yadecha umasbia. Those are the last words of the Haggadah, and it's signed by a note from Rabbi Ansbacher's brother, and then a text also in friends to Julian Samuel, who helped to make this. You can go online, and Yad Vashem, you can actually see these pictures of the Haggadah. So one of the people who was there, you can pass this whole thing around if anybody wants to look at it. One of the people who was there described it as follows. His name is, this is an account from Dr. Pinchas Rothschild. He says, this is what it was like preparing for Pesach in 1941. Quote, At the time, celebrating a Passover holiday in the Gurs camp, we felt as if a refreshing breeze from the promised land had descended upon us via the desert. Amazing. B'chozek yad hotzianu Hashem Mitzrayim. It says, before Gurs, we had led a carefree existence in the diaspora and had not attempted to truly understand or remember the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, from slavery to freedom. Now, it was as if that which befell our nation in those distant days touched us and became a part of our everyday existence. Then, as now, the reality and the expectations, we vacillated between the hope for freedom and the hardships still awaiting us as we began to prepare for the holiday week in the camp. Could you imagine to live in this kind of environment, to have that kind of existence, and to say that the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Egypt and he's going to take us out again? It's unbelievable emunah. It's mamash incredible. Haggadah number two. Let's go to Haggadah number three. This Haggadah, you're looking at it, turn the page. You see this handwritten typeface? This handwritten? This is the original cover of this Haggadah. This is the base Avram and the base Aaron Haggadah. You see this? This is what the author, who was, his name was Rav Avram Aaron Friedman. He lived most of his life in a small town called Chup. This is his Haggadah. He was a balabas. He was a Belzer Chassid who made his living as a wine manufacturer, as a schnapps maker. He was one of 13 children. His father, Rav Yonah Friedman, was a prominent, very old, prominent Belzer Chassid. And obviously, not only was he a businessman, but he was a tremendous Yodea Sefer. So he decided, when he was younger, he wanted to write a Haggadah. So he writes this Haggadah, and you look on the next page, you see this is the handwritten, this is what he wrote. You're looking at it, what you're holding is what he wrote. With four Pirushim, he calls it the Agudas Esav, Brechos, Brachos, Becheshbon, Ruach Hadash, Hadeyev, Hadibor, and Marbala Saper, on different levels of the Haggadah. So this Pirush, you see he wrote it by hand, similar to the way you would organize a sefer. So you have the main text of the Haggadah in the middle, and then he has different sections of the Pirushim, the commentaries on the different sides. Each commentary has a different character. So the Germans invade, and his life falls apart. He has to go to forced labor. Despite this, he's running around the forced labor, carrying a bundle, a manuscript of his Haggadah. This was his most precious thing. Everybody is gone except he has one daughter. He manages to get the daughter this Haggadah. He dies. Everybody around him, his father dies, and then he dies. But the Haggadah survives. So he had some family, some children, who survived the war, come to Israel, and they print this Haggadah. That after the whole journey, the everything that this man went through and then died in the war. Oh, you didn't see it? Okay. It's published. You can buy it. It's called the Haggadah Shel Pesach Beis Avram Beis Aaron. And he has beautiful Pirushim in here. But one thing that I thought was so moving and so interesting of this man, he died in his 40s. He died in his 40s. If you look, turn to the next page. He has a pirush on the Harachamon. And this is mamish so beautiful. Because he says, Harachamon yuvarech es avi mori. So in his pirush, on the Marbel Saper, on the story part of his pirush, he says, you know who I'm talking about here? Harachamon yuvarech es avi mori. Let me tell you about my father. Let me tell you who my father was. Let me tell you what happened to him. So there's a woman who volunteers in the museum who was very gracious. I gave this out. She translated it for me. You have it in the English on the next one. He says, I'm going to tell you, I have to write down everything that happened until I got here. He says, they took me the second time to the labor camp. And every day was worse and worse. I heard that my wife had got very sick, and then unfortunately she died. She was from Birzhan, which is a very well-known Galitzianische town. And then Lakisi B'Kaflayim, because my father, the saintly Mori V'Rabbi, Reb Yonah Olav HaShalom, Ben Reb Avram Aaron, that was his grandfather, that's who he's named after, that's why his Pirushim are called Avram and Aaron. He says he also was killed. And he was buried in Muzai, and I was left alone. And I wrote about them. I said a hesped, and I wrote a kuntris, a special kuntris, b'fnei atzmo. And then after that, I went back. I had to be in the labor camp, and thanks to Hashem's help, he saved me. He brought me out. Hashem yirachem al sheiris amo Yisrael v'yishlach lanu hagol tzedek b'mehera. And that's how he concludes this section of the story. That's what he puts in the Haggadah. The Haggadah, for him, is a personal story. It's the Shibud, and he never saw the light of day. He never got out on the other side of the Holocaust. He died. But this Haggadah survived. So all the Pirushim in here that he carried around, it's hard for me to even understand what that means. How he was able to keep these bundles, this bundle of paper, so that
they should be able to publish it after the war, Hafla Vafela. But you can read this Pirish. You're reading the words of the man Sifsos of Dovavos Bekever. It's still there today. So now let's take a step beyond the war. Take a look on page 8. Let's take a look. What happens after the Jews are freed? What happens after the war is over? So this is page, you see what this is? Page 40 of the New York Times, Sunday, April 14th, 1946. Anybody here remember that date? I don't know. Sunday, April 14th, 1946. So the top of the article is selecting Easter plants for disabled veterans. But what's the next article? Can you see in the tiny print? Passover season to stress relief. So throughout the United States, Rabbanim are making an appeal to support the remnant, the She'eras HaPleita of Jews who are still living in Europe in DP camps. Many of these Jews, not only did they survive the horrible destruction of their families and their lives and themselves being interred in these camps during the war, after the war, we like to think that it was over. It was not over. DP camps were not, they were not summer camp. Initially, after the war, many DP camps held both Jews and Germans or Ukrainians, because they originally had all nationalities together. So you could have Ukrainian anti-Semitic murderous collaborators in the same camp with Ukrainian Jews who were survivors, who were being locked in. It took several months until the American army, Hashem should bless them and repay them for their chassadim, they eventually set up separate camps for Jews. They had extra food rations, another 200 calories a day, because initially everybody get the same thing. And those camps were not with, you know, barbed wire, with guards. Originally, Jews who came from other countries, let's say Polish Jews who came to a DP camp, were turned away. They said, go back to Poland. It was a crazy, terrible thing. So meanwhile, now things are much better. It's April 4th, 14th, 1946. April 14th, 1946 is what?
Erev Pesach.
That's right. Erev Pesach. So now, turn to page 9. This is earlier in the news. This is earlier in the same newspaper. While Rabbanim are making appeals in America, the JDC and others are sending matzah. The first matzah to be baked in Berlin since Hitler's rise to power. More than 2 million pounds of Pesach supplies, and most of them came from America, have been provided for surviving Jews in Europe, the Middle East, and Asia. Unbelievable. So there are Pesach supplies, there are Siddurim, but what about a Haggadah? So turn the page. Anybody know what that insignia looks like? What is that? A simon. What's that?
Third Army.
That's right.
The Third Army.
The American Third Army. This is the insignia of the Third Army of the United States.
Unfortunately.
In 1946, there was a survivor. His name was Yosef Dov Scheinson. He puts together a Haggadah. This Haggadah is published in this work. It's called A Survivor's Haggadah. It's a very unusual Haggadah. It's incredible. It's complete with several woodcuts by a prominent, also another survivor, an artist by the name of Miklos Adler. And this was published by the American Army in preparation for the first Seder since the liberation. This took place in Munich, April 15th to 16th, 1946. And I'm going to pass the book around. You can flip through it. Shomu Shamayim, what you have here. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. This Seder was conducted by Rabbi Avraham Klausner in the Deutsches Theater restaurant, which still exists today. They estimated that there were several thousand Jews after the war in this area. And it tells you in the beginning the story of how they made this Haggadah and how they approached the American army, and that the American government paid for the printing of this Haggadah and they disseminated it. So if you look right before the Haggadah starts on your next page, before this page, which you see the picture of the Ka'ara, what did they have on the inside cover? What does it say in English? On the top, it's the German for Brausbad, which means shower bath. And look at the images, right? These are the images on the top. The images, lo aleinu, of the smokestacks, you see? Shower. What are the first words of this Haggadah? Bitchila, right? In the beginning, what does it say? Avodim hayinu. We were slaves to Hitler in Germany. And then you look on the next page, you see one of the woodcuts. Fast forward. Lo aleinu, you see pictures. This is the description of... What do you see? This is an artistic description of... What does it look like? Right, what are they digging?
Mass graves.
Yeah, trenches, mass graves. That's what this Haggadah is describing. And then it says, you don't have this in your picture, but I'm going to pass it around. Behold, Arvador, Chayav Adam, Liras, Esatzmo, Ilu, Yatzam, in Mitzrayim. So, what is in it? There's an image of pyramids, and then on the bottom, there's an image of barbed wire. These are people living in DP camps. So, this was their expression. So, I'm going to pass this Haggadah around, and then you see something that says, Shomu Shamayim. Dayenu, what was his... You know, and we're not judging them, we're just reflecting. This was how he connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This man was an active Zionist, you'll see how in a second. Dayenu would have been enough had he scattered us among the nations but had not given us the first crusade. It would have been enough had he given us the first crusade and not given us the second crusade. That would have been enough had he given us the second crusade but not the blood libels. We said it would have been enough. And he goes weiter. The Black Plague, the Inquisition, Tach V'Tat. Had he given us the slaughter in Ukraine, which is the famous pogrom in 1919 in Kiev, but not Hitler, we would have been content. I'm on 13 of your packet if you're following along. Had he given us Hitler but no ghettos, we would have been content. Had he given us ghettos but no gas chambers and crematoria, we would have been content. Had he given us gas chambers and crematoria but our wives and children had not been tortured, we would have been content. Had our wives and children been tortured, but we would have not been forced into hard bondage, we would have been content, etc. All the more so, this is to this interesting conclusion. Since all of these has befallen us, we must make aliyah, even if illegally. Wipe out the gullus, build the chosen land, and make a home for ourselves and our children for eternity. This is an expression. You know, it's probably a call to the Ribbono Shel Olam for help, a call of brokenness, a cry of sorrow. But that's how he's framing his experience of the parallel, right? The Dayenu that we say, Lo Aleinu, should know from such things. But it's incredible. But what was his takeaway? His takeaway is we got to go to Israel. We have to rebuild. We have to build the Jewish state. We have to have a homeland.
It's a cry of hope.
Yes, and whether or not it's acknowledging, you know, that the Shiva Sion, the idea, Rav Shechter used to tell us, I think every year tell us the same story, that there were Jews who, when they left the DP camps, they had cards. Where do you want to go? Option one, Palestine. Option two, Auschwitz. They said, this is the only place for the Jewish people. And even secular people, whether they knew it or not, it's their neshama inside telling them that's where the future of the Jewish people is. That's Bana Lanu Bespeis Mechir. We got to go back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the vision. This is the post-war story of Jewish survivors. This is the Haggadah of the survivors in the DDP camps. Unbelievable. One last Haggadah, now we take it to Bezman Hazeh. The next Haggadah that you have on your page. The Halakha Papa Rav, Rav Yosef Grunwald. Believe it or not, I didn't put it on your page. I actually have in my notes the obituary, the picture of the Levaya of the Papa Rav from the New York Times. He died in 1984. He was a Rav in Williamsburg for many generations, the Rav of Kehilas Yaakov, which came as the She'eris HaPleita, the rebuilt Hasidus of his family from before the war. His father was the author of the Sefer Vayagid Yaakov. He was the Av Beis Din and the Rebbe of the Yeshiva in Papa, in this small Hungarian town. So before the war, he had a yeshiva, he had a wife, he had 10 children. And they're all gone. All of them. So what does he do? He survives the war, comes to America, and rebuilds. He gets remarried, he has children, and he rebuilds his life, and he rebuilds his chassidus. This is a story, a kind of story, that I saw with my own eyes. Growing up in our shtibel, the Rebbe of our shtibel, Rav Amram Taub, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. So he was, he spoke a little bit of English, he spoke English, but he was from the She'eris HaPleita, his wife and their children from before the war, all gone. So he came to America, he remarried, and he had a new family. It was a very prominent machanich, tremendous educator in our shul, who passed away very young, about 2 years ago, Reb Mendy Friedman, Zichrono Livracha. So my father once asked, I think Reb Mendy, he once asked the Rebbe, do you ever think about your old family, the previous family? The Rebbe said, I think of them at our simchas now. He said, I think this child would be this age, this child would be that age. He says, I think of them at our new simchas. So you can imagine what courage, what emunah it takes to rebuild a life, to rebuild a chassidus after that. So our Rebbe came to America, and the Satmar Rav said, go to Baltimore, you should set up shop in Baltimore. There weren't that many chassidim in Baltimore. There still aren't that many chassidim in Baltimore. In our shtibo, there were like 6 shtreimlich, and my father was the balkori, he's the kippah sugah. So just say it was like a heterogeneous type of a chevra. But these were people, like the Papa Rav, and like Rabbi Taub, and others, who after the war had the emunah and the strength to rebuild their lives and their communities. So he came in and reestablished his chassidus. Some people, I think Papa is most well known, because Papa and Salem are 2 towns that went together. The chassidus is called the Papa Salemer Chassidus. Some people know them in New York because they have a famous matzah bakery. So you get Shatzer matzahs, or you get Papa matzahs. That's a big, you know, I don't know, what do we get around here? Shatzer. We get Shatzer. Okay, if we didn't get Shatzer, we get Papa. But at the end of his Haggadah, he has an unbelievable shot. This is written after the war, after he died. His students collected his teachings and they put him into a Haggadah. It's called the Vayechi Yosef Haggadah. What is that message, Vayechi Yosef? What is it trying to say? That's it. That's it. Vayechi Yosef, even though his wife and his children and his kehila and everybody, in the past they were all gone, but we, Klal Yisrael, we still live on. Vayechi Yosef, Rav Yosef Grunwald, and the Papa Chassidus, and the European Shalife, and Klal Yisrael, we always will live on. So he has a magnificent pshat in Chad Gadya. Unbelievable Chad Gadya that he quotes from Rav Mordechai of Charna. He says, what is Chad Gadya? Chad Gadya is Miloshon Haggadah. It's one Haggadah, one Magid, one statement. The Ribbono Shalom said to us at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha Lemacherim. In one statement, he said the first two Dibros. He said that was the one thing. That's the Chad Gadya. It all comes down to this. The one statement. We only heard one thing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we got scared. We said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't handle it. You should tell us the rest of the Dibros. But we heard one thing. Chad Gadya, one Haggadah, we heard from him. Dezab and Abba betray Zuzay. That our father bought with two zoos. Who is our father? The Ribbono Shalom, our father in heaven. That he bought with trei zuzei, with two zuzim, kiviyachol. What is that? Torah and tefillah. That's the Ribbono Shalom. He, quote unquote, was kona us by giving us the gift of that chad gadya, of that one haggadah. When he said to us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he gave us that gift of Torah and tefillah, of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dezabin, he bought us with that. We were sold right after that. And then what happens, Lo Aleinu? You know? The cat came along and bit us, and this happened, and that happened. But at the end of the day, what does it all come back to? Chad Gadya, that one Haggadah, that one statement that we heard from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And there are a lot of things that are going to go on in history. There's going to be the cat and the dog and this one and that one and everything. But at the end of the day, who is left standing? Va'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam acharei kechlos hakol, at one day we'll understand all of the things that went on. The cat and the dog and the Malach HaMavis and the Holocaust and the ghettos and everything. But at the end of the day, va'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said it all straight. It begins, according to the Pabarab, it begins with Chad Gadya, the Haggadah, that one statement that the Ribbono Shel Olam said to us, and it ends with the Ribbono Shel Olam taking care of us. That's where it ends. That's the whole story of the Haggadah, told to us by a man who saw this from beginning to end in his own life. What's the message he wants us to leave from the Haggadah with? He wants us to know the Ribbono Shel Olam, he loves us. He cares about us. He bought us. He invested in us with trei zuzei. It all comes back to Haggadah. The Gadya is the Haggadah. So on the end, you see on the back of your packet, you have a little summary, just to review, of the Haggadahs that we spoke about tonight. We met the Heilige Reb Zusha Friedman, Hashem Yikom Domo Zchus Yogin Aleinu, with his Haggadah, the Mayana Shel Torah, which was published before the war. Then we went into the war to the Gurs camp in France, and we came across this beautiful, incredible Haggadah of Reb Aryeh Ludwig Zuckerman. We moved further into the war to the labor camps, to the Beis Aaron Haggadah of Rav Avram Aaron Friedman of Chup, the Belzer Chassid, which did survive the war, even though he did not. We moved to Yosef Dov Scheinson and his Haggadah that was published by the American Army for the first Seder for DP survivor Jews in 1946. And then we moved to today, where the number of survivors is dwindling every year by year. And the Vayechi Yosef, that the survivors and their message and their legacy still live on, even though their numbers are dwindling, but the Haggadahs, the teachings still live on. So the Paparav tells us, Vayechi Yosef. We need to live on, and we need to draw the strength from the Haggadah, despite all the unbelievable horrors. Indescribable, only Uman Ki Yisubar. It's not possible to even imagine what happened to him. And yet, Va'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the day, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he gave us that Haggadah, and we're going to pass that Haggadah on to our children. We want to wish all of you a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.